The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have today the great feast of Pentecost, which ranks with Christmas and Easter among the greatest feasts of the Church. It is the feast of the Holy Spirit, the love that exists between the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit that enlivens and animates the Church. We who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have received this Holy Spirit and said yes to that Spirit at our confirmation. In the power of that Spirit, we now live. In the first reading where the great day of Pentecost was described, we're given two important symbols of the Holy Spirit, wind and flame. First, wind. We don't know quite where it comes from. We don't quite know where it is going. There's something unpredictable about the wind. So it is with the Holy Spirit. We can't control the Holy Spirit. When you hand your life over to God's Holy Spirit, you are not in control, and that's good news. The Spirit blows where He wills of His own accord. So if I hand my life over to the Spirit, I can't predict what will happen. You have to pray, therefore, for the Holy Spirit. You have to ask. Perhaps today we could say this prayer many times. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit. Inviting Him to take the reins of our lives. You know something about the wind? It is powerful. I remember so well the time I was playing croquet on a yard with a bunch of my engineering friends in Colorado Springs in the early 1990s. I believe it was June as well. As we played, an enormous, dark, ominous cloud formed to the northeast. I had never seen a cloud so impressive in my life. There was no doubt to anyone that a tornado was going to come from that system. And it did. It hit around Lyman and Rush, nearly destroying them. The pictures in the newspapers the next morning were just heartbreaking. Wind is powerful. So the Holy Spirit. When you let it into your life, it'll do something powerful in you. It will change you. It will uproot things in you. I think here of St. Catherine Drexel. She was the daughter of one of the wealthiest people in Philadelphia near the beginning of the 20th century. She inherited the equivalent in today's money of hundreds of millions of dollars. But she had a religious awakening, a deep sense that there was something more to life than what money could buy. And so she went to see Pope Leo XIII, not the 14th, the 13th, who had no idea who she was. She knelt down before him and said, "Holy Father, there needs to be a religious order in my country that will minister to Native and African Americans who were suffering much during that period." Pope Leo said to her, "You need to found that order." She replied, "No, not me. I'm just making a suggestion. I'm willing to give some of my money to this cause, but someone needs to attend to the needs of these people." Pope Leo said, "No, you need to found the religious order that will do this work." And so she did. The Holy Spirit entered her life with power, uprooted things in her, turned things around, and carried her to where she had no idea she could go. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wind, is power. It can knock over the strongest things if we but let it in our lives. A sound like driving wind. How wonderful. That's how the church began. The other great symbol, tongues as of fire. I remember studying about the great Chicago fire of 1871 that devastated the city of Chicago. Acres and acres of territory, buildings destroyed, people killed. The mighty Chicago fire. Fire is destructive. But we also know that the Chicago fire cleansed. It cleared out the old city, allowing the modern city of Chicago to be born, which is why their symbol is the phoenix, the bird that rises from its own ashes. So the Holy Spirit is like a cleansing fire. When you let the Holy Spirit in your life, He will burn things away in you. When I found myself reattracted to the life in the faith in my mid-20s, I entered into prayer and the liturgy and giving myself to God. And then I found that things had to change in me, because all was not well with me at that point. God wanted things changed. He wants to burn away my selfishness. He wants to burn away my pride and my envy and my anger and my resentments. That has to burn away. That's what He does in us when we finally cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Something else about fire, it's illuminating. Before the era of electricity, fire was used to see at night. It lit up the way. So when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you begin to understand Scripture. These are dead words unless and until the Holy Spirit lights up your mind, and then the Bible comes to life. Paul tells us, you cannot declare Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. That means unless and until the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, you can't confess Jesus is Lord. You don't know who He is, but when that light comes into your mind, then you know. The Holy Spirit is a cleansing fire. It's an illuminating light. But mind you, the fire is as of tongues, speech. The first thing the disciples do after they receive the Holy Spirit, they begin to talk, and their talk is fiery, not mealy-mouthed mewing. The disciples proclaim that Jesus is Lord. They proclaim boldly the things of God. The Holy Spirit lights your tongue on fire, and now you want to talk about Jesus. And not just among other disciples. The first disciples go out on one of the busiest days of the year in Jerusalem, when it was filled with pilgrims and tourists and hangers-on from all over the place. They go out, and in public, they proclaim the Lordship of Jesus, risen from the dead. You know, the modern culture wants us to privatize our faith. They've made it known that they will tolerate us Christians only as long as we whisper it among ourselves or keep it in the privacy of our hearts. That's not biblical and is not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends you out to public proclamation of Jesus as Lord. Your tongue will catch fire when you allow the Holy Spirit in your life. Pentecost is the birthday of the church because once the church has been equipped with the Holy Spirit, it's ready for mission. The early disciples had seen the risen Lord and were filled with enthusiasm because of that truth, but they weren't ready for their mission until this day when that wind and that flame came into their lives. St. Paul says The Spirit gives gifts. You know, if you're baptized, you've got some gifts. Baptism is not an empty ritual, not a harmless little symbol. Baptism is an immersion into the very being of Jesus. And if you've been baptized, you've got some gifts. For your own use only? No. For the upbuilding of the church. And without your gift being shared with the world, something is missing. So join with me now in a prayer for the Holy Spirit to come upon this community in order to transform us into bold proclaimers of the gospel in the world. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.